We'll have a short study tonight and have a couple testimonies and share a few announcements with you. But let's look at verse 4 there, if you would with me, please. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Father, we do pray tonight. Just want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the children singing. What a blessing that was. And thank you, Lord, that we can sing that all we have is Christ, who is sufficient, totally sufficient. And we thank you for those that have come tonight to hear the Word of God. Lord, please meet with us. Please encourage us. Lord, we got a big week ahead of us. A lot of challenges coming up, and Lord, we need you. And I pray that you would even use this time now to strengthen us. We do commit this to you now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we've just started into chapter 12 our last time and talked about how this main chapter is definitely talking about Israel's future deliverance that will come at the end of the tribulation time when Christ does come to set up his reign there in Jerusalem. But the angel here, whom there is some debate there. There are some different views who this angel might be. I tend to believe it is Gabriel, but there are others that would suggest another archangel, not Michael, because Michael's going to come and help. But there are some that would even believe that it was the Son of God, the second Godhead, the Lord Jesus. And so I don't really agree with that, because it tends to suggest that he needed help. And we know the Lord Jesus doesn't need any help from anybody. He can stand alone on fighting the demonic forces of hell. They are no match for him. But nevertheless, this angel's bringing his message to a close to Daniel. And it started there in chapter 10 and has come all the way through chapter 12. This is the fourth vision of Daniel, fourth and last, that we see in this great book. And I want to focus just on verse 4 tonight with the time that we have. And I want to begin with the first part. He says, "But thou, O Daniel," very personal command here. He says, "Shut up the words and seal the book." I want to see, first of all, and what he is telling Daniel to do is to preserve this great prophecy that he has received. He's not telling him to hide it. That would be contrary to what the purpose is for this book. It's not to be kept a secret. In fact, it's to be a great blessing to all those that will be exposed to it, like us here tonight. We are reading the book of Daniel, and we have read the book of Daniel, and through the ages, it has been a great blessing. But God intends for Daniel to preserve this book, and that's what that term means there when he says to shut up the book. That is, gives the idea of preservation. And we'll see here, as he says, "Shut up the words," he also says, "and seal the book." That carries the idea of securing it. In other words, don't let it be tampered with. Make sure that you secure it in a way that it's not polluted in any way, but preserved for those that will come. And aren't you glad God has been faithful in preserving his book all these years? Here we are 2,500 years later, here in old Athens, Georgia, Jackson County, 2018, with the book of Daniel. And that is a blessing. It is it is truly God's inspiration and preservation of his words. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I rejoice in that and God preserving his word. And you know, through the ages, God has had men and his servants to testify and to study out these words of prophecy. And it's interesting that even of the church forefathers, there have been ones. Irenaeus, who was from 130 A.D. to 202 A.D., was a bishop of the church in Lyons, France, not far where we learn French there in the country of France. He was an eyewitness of the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, and was a disciple of Polycarp, and who was the first apostle of John's disciples. And he was the most known for his five-volume treatise against heresies. And he would go on to write that to expose false religions and cults. But his advice was in many of them, too, to how to share the gospel. But he was, too, of the persuasion of the end times, of a seven-year tribulation that would come about. And through the ages, there have been one after another who have taken to the Word of God, studied the Word of God, let it have impacted them, and God has used them. This idea of the seven-year tribulation and the book of Daniel, people have studied that. They have critiqued it. They have denied it. They have tried to, these critics, liberal critics, have tried to mock it in many ways. But as we have studied the Word of God, we know the things that Daniel has prophesied. Many have already come to pass and will come to pass as we have studied the Word of God there. But we see here that Psalm chapter 12, I'll read that for you. Psalm chapter 12 and this idea of God preserving His Word. Even the psalmist says it like this: the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. And get this, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God has promised to preserve His Word through the ages, just as He promised, and He has, and we can testify of it tonight, that God has indeed preserved His Word, the prophecy that we view tonight. So we see this preserving that God did. Secondly, I want us to notice the people He's referring to. He says there, but many. He said, even to the end of time. He says here, even to the time of the end, he's talking about there's a time, and we can see back in chapter 11, verses 35 and 40, that same term is used, and it's referring to the Great Tribulation. So I will mention this here in just a minute. I believe this book applies this, what he's talking about, this sealing of the prophecy. I do believe it is for all of us, but I think it's going to be extra special for that group in the tribulation time. They're going to be looking for this book. And I believe that that is the main context of it, although I do believe there are some ways that we can apply it to our lives even here tonight. But who are the people that applies to? Well, I believe it's us here tonight. But we're profiting from it. People in the past have profiting from it. We will continue to profit from it. But I believe it's also for those who will rebel against the Antichrist. You know, I've never been to underground China. Has anybody ever been to the underground church here in China? Has anybody ever experienced that? I'd love to do it someday. But what I have heard is that there are areas in this world, and even in the Arab world, and I have been there, but even I haven't been to some severe, severe places where Christianity is heavily persecuted, but to where they will hide scripture and pass it around, will circulate just maybe even pages of the Word of God to just try to get it to each other, because there is such severe persecution that if they get found with the Bible, they die. And that is the image I believe that we can know from the Word of God is going to be happening in the tribulation time. There are going to be people that are going to be looking for the book of Daniel. And they're going to be looking for answers. And we'll see that because of what it says next. We see the people of this prophecy, but then I want to see this passion for the prophecy of the end times. Look at the terminology that Daniel uses. He says, and many, many shall run to and fro. Now, again, there you read commentaries, and boy, you'll get all kinds of various takes on this. You have some that would say this is referring to a day and age like we are in today, where transportation has just skyrocketed in its advancements of how we can get to different places so quickly. I think there's going to be some application there, but I'm not convinced that's the direct context of this verse. There are those that also view it as the going to and fro with this prophecy, with their eyes, the idea that they're searching this book, the book of Daniel, and they're just looking it over back and forth, trying to figure it out, trying to understand it. That is a possibility, but also there's been suggested that I tend to go with this one as well, but there's a to and fro of looking for this book, trying to get access to this book in the secret places as the Antichrist and the Great Tribulation, the wrath they're bringing upon anybody that rebels. Man, they're trying to get all over the place to try to find out the answers. What's going on? You know, you would hope there would be a lot more questions being asked in our day and age. But my dear friends, there's going to be one day where there's going to be a lot of questions asked, like what in the world is going on? I mean, this world is coming to an end, and there's no doubt about it. And we have threatenings, but hey, during this time, it's way beyond threatenings. It's happening during this time. I mean, and so it is so severe that I believe they are going to and fro to get access to this book to explain what is going on. But actually gives also the idea of, again, searching the scriptures, because we see a passion for this. It goes right into a progression of learning the prophecy. And that's where it says here, after they many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, as I mentioned earlier, prophecy is that the book of Daniel has been studied. We know it from our early church fathers. We know the book of Revelation, and that together we believe this is much like the book of Revelation of the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. But it's been studied throughout the centuries. And I believe because of, even going up to the death of Christ, because this was again written 500 years before the death of Christ. And so, you know, you have what it is. There was not a lot fulfilled at this point. Some of it had been fulfilled, what Daniel had done, but it didn't specifically speak of the context of Daniel's day at that very time. But boy, hadn't a lot happened since then. A lot. And while I'm not going to go and review all of that, but we are at a point now where I believe people have grown in their knowledge of prophecy. Not that they didn't have the Word of God, but men have studied and have seen the prophecies fulfilled as they have studied history and these military empires and whatnot through the ages. And boy, people, we've gotten access, you know, today to so many books and to the internet and different things. And people are studying this out, and that's true for today. But I believe it will even go to a higher degree during the tribulation time. And they will increase in knowledge. And there are some that interpret this as saying, you know, with the technology again, people increase in technology and understanding. Yes, we are much further than we've ever been in the human race, I believe. I understand that. And so there is some application there. But I believe specifically in the context, it's talking about this book. They're going to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. There's going to be increase in understanding that, wow! This is it. This is what Daniel talked about. We're here. This is it. And I believe that there will be an increase in knowledge of the end times. That is my opinion of that. That is my take on that passage. I believe that there will be an increasing of knowledge. And this book will be used greatly. But you know, folks, it will be used greatly then. But praise God, let's let it be used greatly even now. Let's let it be used greatly now in our lives. And I believe God has used it in our church as we've studied through these chapters. You know, God has preserved His Word. And He's preserved His Word for us to proclaim it. You know, He didn't preserve His Word for us to go and hide it, to keep it private in any way. But just like in the tribulation time, He has preserved it for them to spread it among each other, to get them the truth of God's Word. And so how can we make application to March 11th, 2018? to God's people where the Word of God has been preserved. Well, what do we need to do? We need to share it. We need to go to and fro, not to search for it because we got it, but we need to go to and fro to give it, to share the Word of God. And that's, you know, sometimes you get, some people may think, man, you're talking about tracts all the time. But let's just be honest. It is one of the most practical ways to share the Word of God. It just really is. You're not always able to sit there and start quoting Scripture to people. Sometimes you do, and that's a great opportunity. But the most practical way for us to share the Word of God is to be able to hand somebody a pamphlet that contains the Word of God inside of it, and to tell them how they can know Christ to and fro and going about, because there are some people searching. We don't see them lined up at the doorsteps. I know that. They've been blinded by the God of this world. But you know what we can do? We can try to get the Word of God to them. And I believe we're doing that, and I believe we're growing in that. But God has preserved His Word for us, not to just hold it to ourselves, but to get it. I was so thankful to be able to meet with old Greg. I don't know, I'm not sure if Greg's here tonight or not. But been meeting with Greg, met with him 3 times now. Brother Greg Seether came to Christ about a month ago and was able to give him his first study Bible. I got him an old Scofield study Bible. And I use a Scofield Bible to disciple him. And so I said, brother, I just had it in my library. It was a brand new one, and I gave it to him. And I said, brother, I'm going to give you this. It's a good study Bible. I explained to him that these are Scofield's words. These are man's words. And I said, these are God's words. I said, you always go with God's words. Man's not always right. He can have put some light on some things, but we as men, we don't always get it right. I said, but God's Word will never fail you. And just explain that. But I also said it's great because I can just tell you what page number to go to. Okay. So as we're studying those Scofield Bibles, no matter what, they're the same page number. And as he's learning the books of the Bible and whatnot, but just to be able to share the Word of God with him. And let me ask you something. Has God given you an opportunity to maybe give a Bible to somebody? You know, you'd be surprised. Somebody that maybe you've taught with and they're just sort of hard toward the gospel, you'd be surprised on their response to you giving them a nice Bible and put a little note in there and say, you know, I know we've talked before and I just believe it would be honoring to the Lord. I believe it would be a help to you if you would accept this gift of the Bible that I gave to you. Write a little personal note in there and give them that Bible. You never can tell what God will do. You see, God has called us, God has preserved His Word so that we might proclaim His Word. And so may we as God's people do our best. I'm sure there's going to be those evangelists in the tribulation time, those Jewish believers. Man, they're going to be in secret many times trying to save their heads. But boy, they're going to be sharing the Word of God. They're going to be lights. They're going to be trying to get people saved and say, look, it's true. This is the book of Daniel. It's all been prophesied. It's all been told of. The Messiah is coming. Listen, let's stay faithful. Let's accept the Messiah. He's real. He's just like Daniel said. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the truth. Let's get the Word out. And so here we are. I don't know how long it'll be for that takes place. We don't know the timing, the coming of the Lord. But I'm saying right now, why don't we do it while we have the opportunity? And by God's grace, we will. Let's pray together. Father, I do want to thank You for the book of Daniel. Lord, we're getting ready to study the last part when there's going to be some questions about the Great Tribulation. But Lord, there's one thing for sure. We realize that You have preserved Your Word, Almighty God. For us, even today, but Lord, You have especially preserved Your Word for those people in the tribulation time that will read the book of Daniel. The same book we're reading tonight. Lord, that is an awesome thought. And we just pray, Almighty God, that we will do our part, even now, not during the tribulation. We're not in fear of losing our head, but sometimes, Lord, we won't even share it when there's not even a threat. And Lord, I confess that's me a lot of times. I confess that's me, Lord. Would you do a mighty work of revival in my heart in the heart of Crooked Creek Baptist Church that we need to realize the importance of proclaiming the precious Word of God, that it has been preserved for us to proclaim. Father God, we ask that You would do this, and we'll thank You for how You change us according to Your Word and to Your will. I do pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, now I want to have a time of testimonies. And what we'll do is we'll start it off with Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, if you'll come. And as you, many of you know, Daniel Bachman took a trip to Belize about 2 weeks ago now and was with a construction team. And I just wanted Brother Daniel to share the blessing it was, some things he learned. Because you know what, church? I want this to be the norm. I believe you know this. You don't always have to wait for an organized team from this church. God put something on your heart to go travel somewhere in the area of missions, in the context of missions. I hope you'll do it as the Lord leads you and gives you those open doors. But we're going to try to avail those opportunities as well. So, Brother Daniel, you come and share what the Lord did in your heart.
Thank you.
Amen.
I didn't know if he was talking about me when he said Daniel. It is my name, but most people just call me Dan. That's good enough.
But I studied the book of Daniel, so I think that's what it was.
I like to be associated with Daniel in the
Amen.
Bible.
Amen.
I want to say thank you very, very much for praying for me. The specific request that I made was that you pray that I was able to work hard and endure, that my back would hold up. And the Lord very vividly answered that prayer. We worked very hard. I probably will not work that hard for that length of time again. I think that was my last hurrah. But we would get up at 6 o'clock, and we'd go down, have our devotions. And then we would have breakfast at 7. And then we'd have a little group devotional about 7:45 or 8 o'clock. We'd start working. And we worked 8.5-hour days. And we kept a very strict schedule throughout the whole time. I did not know that where I was going was a camp. It's called Bridge the Gap. They do have a church there. This camp ministry and this church ministry is associated with Mark Leakey. They are part of his church that they have in the little town of Buena Vista. We flew into Belize City, which is on the Caribbean. We didn't see the resorts and all that. We took about a 2.5-hour bus ride in a very rickety old bus down to the corner of Belize. We were very near Guatemala, not that far from Honduras. And it was a very third world country type. The camp's ministry is to have a church and also to bring young men and young women into the camp to teach them careers. And they're just developing this. I had some great blessings, and I'll not go into the stories. And let me say up front, if you'd like to see the pictures, Pastor and I went to Best Buy not too long ago, and I bought one of these little devices called Chromecast, and I hook it up to my dumb TV. If a TV is not smart, it must be dumb, I assume. And I'm able to cast my pictures from my phone onto the TV. My phone pictures are a bit fuzzy, and my pictures on the TV are also fuzzy, but they're bigger. So you can see them. And if you'd like to hear stories in more detail and things we did, let me know. We'll have you over for a bowl of ice cream, and I'll show you my pictures. We'd love to do that. But I guess the blessings were, number one, the people. I got to know the people I worked with. They were all Canadians that came down, with exception of one man who is one of the directors in this CLAIM ministry. And CLAIM represents people, laymen, who are serving Christ on an international basis. And I'm not going to try to think of the acronym names there. And it's through BIMI. It's through the same ministry that Pastor went through when he went to Africa as a missionary. It's the same mission board. It's a very good board, and it's a very good ministry. But the people I met were amazing. We got there, and they were young men. One was only 22. The rest of them were up to about age 40. And so, you know, they were big guys. They were much stronger than I, but I was able to work hard with them all day long. I learned, they were all from Canada, so I learned to, when I'm talking, to say, right, eh, as I was talking along. I would tease them about that. But that's one of the blessings, getting to know the people you're working with. And even if it's people from our own church as you go on a mission trip, you get to know people on a more personal basis. And it's an amazing thing. These young men were all from Mennonite backgrounds. They were all from very large families. One of them had 15 brothers, sisters. One of them had 12, and they came from large families. It so happened they were all German. They spoke what they call Low German. I don't know the difference much between High German and Low German, but I had a connection with them because I'm also from German families, both my parents. Both my mother and father came from Mennonite churches, and a little different than theirs, but we had a connection right away. But it was a blessing getting to know these men and working with them and getting to know the pastor. The pastor is also from Canada. He's only been there for about a year and a half. And one of the big projects we had was to build an addition onto his home. He had a very, very small home, approximately 500 square feet. He had only two bedrooms and he had three children, two girls and one boy. And the girls were maybe 10, 11 years old, and he needed to separate the boy from the girls in the bedrooms. So we added a bedroom onto his house. We also built a laundry room or laundry house, really, for washers and dryers for camp use. We didn't complete that building, but we got it up. We had it wired. We drywalled it. We also added a couple decks on a couple buildings, and we did several other miscellaneous projects. I built a bookcase for the pastor. Another man built a desk for him that he put in his bedroom. And it was a blessing just being there, doing the projects, meeting the people. Secondly, it was a huge blessing to get to meet the people from Belize. They had five young men. One of them wasn't so young. He looked young. He was 50 years old, but the others were young men. And they worked there on a daily basis. They would pay them a few dollars a day, and they would come do the work, and just talking to them about the Lord. There was only one that professed to be saved. The others received the gospel witness, and we would talk about Christianity, and that was a huge blessing. We had church there on Sunday morning. On Sunday nights, we went to a church in Buena Vista, and it was a church that Mark Leake had started. And it was a church that was, the building itself was constructed by another Claim ministry a number of years ago, another group from the same BIMI ministry. And it was a pavilion, didn't have walls except in the very back where they stored some equipment. And the man that spoke only in Spanish. He did not speak English. And so I didn't communicate much with the pastor because I don't know Spanish. We did have a man there that grew up in El Salvador and who's now living in Canada. So he could speak well. He could speak to him very well and understood him. But it was a blessing just to see those people come in and see the conditions in which they lived, to see the challenges that they faced. And you do develop a new burden. You develop a burden to pray. You develop a burden to give your heart, I believe, is stretched and expanded to have a greater desire to have these people both understand the gospel and receive Christ. By the end of the 2 weeks, and it was a two full weeks of work, I was gone 17 days. But at the end, we realized that we were accomplishing our goals, and we did do several fun things. We saw the Mayan ruins. We went tubing into the caves, the river went under a mountain, and we tubed through there and had some great experiences in there. We went to an open market situation, and we did a few other things that was fun. But most of all, it was a blessing and challenge, and I just appreciated the opportunity. And most of all, again, I appreciated your prayer because my back did not, I did get sore by the end of each day, but each morning I was up and ready to go again, and that could only be of the Lord. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We We certainly were praying for you, Brother Dan. And when does that ice cream offer begin? Just out of curiosity. Is that tonight? Okay. All right. Let's sign up. Okay. I got you. That's a good idea. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing some of those pictures. And, you know, I'm just to let you know, you pray with me. I'm praying about the Lord, asking the Lord if it'd be his will for us to go to Belize, next year, on a mission trip. And I'd been thinking about that already, even before I knew Dan was going on this one. And, Brother Lee Kay, just talking with him, and it seems like he's really set up for team missions, for short-term teams coming in. So I'm praying about that and asking the Lord to just give us some real clarity in that area. But it seems like it would be, just a real neat opportunity. Well, Brother Aaron, if you would come, and, they've been in Montana for a year and the Lord's using them there. If you would just bring us up to date and, let us know what the Lord's been doing in your life. I'd really appreciate it, Brother Aaron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we went up there. We didn't really know much of the people up there. We didn't know the area, but we knew that God was leading us to Missoula. And the first day we got there, we got housing. And some of my coworkers later that summer were trying to find housing, and it took them 2 months. So God opened the door for that. And then he also opened the door for the job. Right away, we had a job, and God was working there. So God was just taking care of the basic needs from the start. He just took care of everything. He led us to a church he wanted us to be in. And many of the pastors up there, they are basically tent makers. They work full-time jobs or part-time jobs, and then they have the church on the side. And so that's pretty much the situation there as well. One of the pastors, he works full-time. He works at the church as much as possible. But it's just neat to see that how God supplies for them. There are a lot smaller churches. A lot of small towns have churches, but they 20 people, maybe 3-4 families in a church, not very many people, but God is just opening doors for them. And so for us, I've had several preaching opportunities in the church. The pastors allowed us to preach, and my wife works in the Christian school, well, volunteers in the Christian school. She teaches music and math, and so God has opened that door for her, and just to be able to work with the kids there, and they enjoy her classes. They always rave about the music classes, and they want to make sure she's back next year, so that's good. And then we help with the church music as well, and we play our instruments and sing in the choir and sing specials in church, and God's allowed us to use us that way. Amen. And then we've been able to go soul winning with the church on a regular basis. We've seen many souls saved, and we work with the bus kids. Amen. As much as possible. And the assistant pastor just took his own church, so when I get back into Montana, we're going to be talking with the pastor about the responsibilities he wants me to help take over. So I'll be working the same as the pastors up there, but helping in the church as much as possible. So God's just opening doors left and right and where he's put us. And then this summer as well, the church up there, we're going to be trying to work with a missionary to the Native American people. They've been up there 30-plus years in Canada, working with the Native tribes, and then back down into Montana. And that's the Voss family, and they know almost every small town, every small pastor, small town church pastor in the area. And so just being able to get to know him has been a blessing, and working with that family. And so we'll be working with some of the natives for a week or two out of the summer up that way. So this God has opened doors. God's been blessing every way. He's faithful for that. And so we're just praise the Lord for all he's been doing in that area.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Aaron. That was Aaron's intentions, Aaron and Lisa's intentions, leaving here. They wanted to get to Montana to just live up there and get to know the terrain, get to know the population and where God would eventually lead them, maybe on a more permanent basis. But he's obviously doing that. But let's just continue to pray for them, that God would continue to open those doors. What's the name of the church again, Brother Aaron? Lighthouse Baptist. So let's just pray for Lighthouse as he goes back, perhaps just being a real blessing to this pastor, coming under his leadership, and maybe even one day going out and starting a church of his own as God leads them. But that's really neat to see. Thank you for sharing that, Aaron. And that's an encouragement. We want to continue praying for you.